Hello, friend. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the Kara Murray Podcast, Season 3. This season, we are taking time to better understand who the women in the New Testament are and their experiences. We will learn more of them, their story, and how Jesus Christ tutored their lives. We will learn more about how much Jesus Christ loves women. I am so grateful you're here. I've been gone for a couple weeks. Had some crazy things going on and just needed to step away for a minute and focus on my family. So I'm excited to be back. However, there are a few stories that we missed that were pretty significant. And so we're going to go back while we have some time without women really in the focus of our stories. So we're going to go back to John 8, which was about 2 weeks ago in our reading. We start this chapter with Jesus teaching in the temple. And when he comes, and then while he's teaching, some Pharisees come in with a woman who has been caught in the very act of adultery. So at the time, they were following the Mosaic Law, as we know. And in the book that I often quote, Walking with the Women in the New Testament, there are so many interesting things. I am going to be quoting a little bit today because there is a backstory of what was really happening to these women that were taken in adultery. And I think it's important to have that backstory and that understanding of what was really going on so that we can see just how incredible this forgiveness is that is given from Jesus Christ. So she actually quotes another book called Sisters at the Well. And so we are going to start off by reading that for just a moment. Let me get to it. Sorry. Okay. So it says, This is the process when a woman was caught in adultery. The husband brought her to the temple to undergo a tester or an ordeal to prove her innocence. In the temple, before the Lord, that is, so before Jesus Christ came, before the altar, she was obligated to drink a potentially poisonous draught composed largely of water, dirt from the temple floor, and the ink scratched from a parchment containing a curse. The drink would supposedly had no effect on if she was innocent. If she was guilty, however, her belly would swell and her thigh rot. So then the author, Hannah, continues, before a woman was subjected to this ordeal, she was often publicly humiliated as well. One scholar described the treatment like this. The priest seized her garments and tore them out to the waist so as to expose her breasts. The priest then unloosed her hair, all jewelry was removed, and she was bound tight around the breast with a cord. Anyone could examine her at this point. Some rabbis believed that all of the women in the court of the women at the time were required to look at her as some type of object lesson. After this degrading experience, the priest offered her the bitter water drink and waited for the sign. So a man was allowed to submit his wife to this if he even thought that maybe she had done something that he didn't approve of. So this woman was brought to the Savior. She was caught in the very act. So maybe her punishment was actually harsher than just someone that had brought their wife in, thinking that maybe she had done something because she had clearly actually done something. And they had already decided to kill her. They brought her to Jesus and said that we are going to stone her. What do you think we should do with her? They say this trying to catch Jesus off. They are always trying to mess him up in some way to try and prove themselves right. So what happens is they bring this woman, and she could have been bound by then in what we just read, bound around the chest, clothes torn off. We don't know. So Jesus writes on the ground. We have no idea what he writes on the ground, though. And maybe he's writing this to avert eyes away from the woman who was probably being humiliated. Then Jesus teaches. He says, this they said, tempting him, like we mentioned before, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Again, he writes on the ground, we do not know but maybe to bring the attention to him. And then he said, then the scriptures say, and they which heard it, being convinced by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. She was left. It was only her and Jesus, the one that could cast the stone at her, the one that had that ability because of his perfection. Verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And the JST adds this beautiful line. I hope you didn't miss it. And the woman glorified God from that hour and believed on his name. This woman repented. She repented of what had happened, and she glorified God and then believed. She became a believer of Jesus Christ. And so it can be with us. We are often better about judging others and pointing out what they're doing wrong, and we forget to turn our own finger around sometimes and recognize our shortcomings. I think we are actually really great at finding faults in ourselves, but sometimes we're not good about seeing really how we can improve. And so we need to be cautious of being our worst critic versus recognizing where we can improve and become closer to our Savior. Our focus needs to be on that relationship with Jesus Christ, not anyone else. We don't need to focus on your next door neighbor's relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't need to worry about how your friends are keeping their covenants. We don't need to worry about that. We need to worry about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our focus needs to be on how we keep the commandments personally and how I decide to keep my covenants personally. That is what's important for me, not for anyone else. Strengthening my testimony in Jesus Christ is what is important, and the modern day prophets. Repenting, turning, that is what repenting means, is a turning to him, changing our lives because of his atonement. That is why this woman wasn't condemned, because of the atonement of Jesus Christ and all he has done for each of us individually. That is why we are here, to gain faith in Jesus Christ and to turn to him and to learn from the prophets and apostles. And our prophet has asked us over and over and over again to learn how to discern the Spirit, how to hear it, because it is getting harder and harder and harder to hear it. There are opportunities for artificial intelligence to give you news that could be completely wrong and completely fake. And if we are not using that discernment, if we are not facing Jesus Christ and repenting and turning to him daily, it is going to be so easy to fall off course. But when our focus is on him and keeping the commandments and following the prophets and keeping our covenants and keeping our family safe together and understanding how the Spirit speaks to us, our focus is on him. And we aren't so worried about how the other people around us are creating their relationships with Jesus Christ, because that is their personal journey. We will judge less and we will love more when our focus is Jesus Christ and his atonement and the opportunity to become better individuals because of him. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you have a great day.